Truth.
Pretty awesome. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It is your rock concert of free speech and protest anthems. That's what it is. And keep the white boy summer going all year long by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, and sending a donation, okay? And you can also, like, hold up your cigarette lighter and click on it and, you know, that kind of stuff, too. You can do that. But what we really need is a donation. So you do that, and then also go to nationalbugle.com and download the Co-Certified app. Okay. Also, while you're there, you'll see there's my White Boy Summer playlist. We got to get this song on that White Boy Summer playlist. Okay, so that song was Vaccination, I Don't Want No Vaccination by Filbert Applebag and Engelbert Poindexter. And Filbert is here to talk about it. Filbert, welcome to the show.
Hello again. Good being on the radio. Whoa, whoa. And yeah, I love that song we both did together. That is, I won't get no vaccination. I won't get known. I don't know about you. I don't know about the listener, but I've made my choice.
Yep. Well, I mean, because okay, is there a line in the sand? And if there's a line in the sand, because the thing is, okay, you can take off your mask, right? You can get another job, but you can never get that vaccination out of your arm.
You cannot detox from the mRNA, sad to say. From what I understand, you could detox to a certain extent from the old-fashioned mercury-based ones. I'm not an expert on that, but I believe it works completely differently with the mRNA ones, from what I understand. It is impossible to detox. And with some of them, it wasn't. Like the old-fashioned ones, you could have detoxed.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on these things, and so I don't talk a whole lot about the biology involved in it, because, even if I had strong opinions, I don't necessarily have the right credentials to be convincing. But what I do know is that if nothing else, even if these Fauci and Bill Gates and Pfizer and Moderna, even if they're the most sincere people who just want to help us stay safe and healthy, this is an absolutely horrible precedent where the government can insist that you take a vaccine. They can take away your rights and dangle them in front of you and say, well, if you have a booster shot, maybe we'll let you go into the grocery store. Maybe we'll let you across state lines. I mean, it's an absolutely horrible precedent.
And yeah, this is dystopian. This is dystopian as dark. It's darker than any night.
It is dark. It's very dark. And like I say, even if they're just saline solution, right? Even if they're just harmless saline solution, they set up a precedent. They set up a regime, a virus or a vaccination regime. And who's to say that somewhere down the road, once they get us, once they start mandating these boosters and whatnot, which obviously is coming, it's coming if we don't stop it, they can do all sorts of things. Like right now, there's a, for instance, people might think, well, they're giving white people one kind of shot and black people another kind of shot. Well, actually, they can't do it that way because they're just handing this stuff out like Halloween candy.
That would take way too many logistics.
It would take way too many logistics. But once it gets once it gets institutionalized, then the next thing is it can be individualized, right? And at that point, once they've got their automated accounting systems and whatnot, then they can do all sorts of things. They can do gene therapies on unsuspecting people, which maybe that's what this is. But I'm not commenting on that. But
well, you remember things. You're right, and do you remember that clip? Have you seen that video clip of Elon Musk? He says, would correctly so. I don't like the guy, but he correctly does say that you can turn anybody into anything. Like you could turn somebody into a butterfly if you had the right like chemical concoction, with referring to mRNA vaccines. Have you ever heard that clip?
No, I haven't.
But... he was quoted as saying that, and it was on film. That's scary when you take that into context and like how badly they want you to take this. Like who knows what's in it? Like I don't think anybody does. Well, I mean, at least anybody that I know. I mean, maybe somebody high up does know. But that's the main reason why I don't want it. Like you said, I don't want no adverse reaction.
I don't. And you know, and of course they're going to make it a, I mean, already openly talking about making it a requirement to fly on airplanes. And not just weird conspiracy people, but Lord Fauci himself. And anything Lord Fauci, what has Lord Fauci said that hasn't been put into place, put into policy?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to point out that if we didn't have Jews in charge of, like, the mass media and music industry and television and entertainment, this parody song that we just did, it would be like a top 40 hit, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know something? If we didn't have Jews in charge of everything, we wouldn't need to do this parody song.
Well, good point. Good point. Maybe I'd still do them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you could go Weird Al Yankovic and just have fun, just do fun ones. Right. But we can't afford it. Whatever time we have to do these, and this is not the last, by the way. There's more.
Yeah, we need to have media. More people need to do this. Do what you can. I've always liked recording and editing music. And doing the production work and all that. I've done that in a somewhat of a semi-professional capacity in a previous life. But, you know, and now that the Jews are in charge of everything, it's virtually impossible making money in the music industry. So, and that's a hard dollar, you know, even if you aren't, or even if you are kosher, rather, even if you are kosher, that's a hard dollar to make. Yeah, and, well, I'm not kosher, so.
Well, you know something, the music industry is one of the very, very first industries that they really got domination over. You know, department stores, some retailing, you know, you can go back to the 1800s and you can find some of the big department stores.
Yeah, they were always the merchants.
They were the merchants. But the music industry, you go back to Tin Pan Alley. We're talking about before records, okay? Tin Pan Alley. The sheet music publishing industry was dominated.
The Pied Piper.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go back to, what was Sophie Tucker? And, like, a lot of these people, they don't even have Jewish names. Who's Swanee? How I Love You. How I Love You. Al Jolson. Like, all these people.
Most of the modern day or old fashioned Christmas songs are written by Jews, or they own the songs, rather. I don't know if they're written, but they own the copyrights.
An awful lot of them were written by Jews. And who's the guy who does the Insomnia stream? I forgot his name. It slipped my mind, but he's a good guy. And I apologize for having. I'll probably remember it later. But he did an Insomnia stream. If you go to like. BitChute and say Insomnia Stream, you'll find it. He's just got a slightly unusual name. And at any rate, he did one of his Insomnia Streams about the Jews who wrote all the Christmas songs. And of course, like the biggest selling one, White Christmas, was Irving Berlin, who I have to admit, I think Irving Berlin was a very good songwriter, you know, but still. You'd think would be, and the point was, if you listen to the popular Christmas songs, they push consumerism, and they water down the Christian message. Now, I know neither one of us are particularly hardcore Christians, but still, I mean, Christmas is, there is some sort of relationship there, right?
Yeah, they need white people. And, you know, one of the vectors they do that through is obviously the Abrahamic religions. They do it through Islam and Christianity.
Yeah. Well, but we got this song out there, and obviously...
Yes, there's more to come, too. There's more to come. I'm so excited about this song. This is my first parody song I've done in, like, at least a few years. I'm so excited. I want to do more.
Well, and you did a heck of a job with the mixing and everything and the recording all the instruments.
Thank you. I really do enjoy mixing and doing the editing.
And I did the or Engelbert did the lyrics and the singing.
And the performance. Good performance on the vocals there.
And except there's one lyric where you had a suggestion, and that's the song you all just heard. It has that lyric, but it wasn't how Engelbert had originally written it, and that was the one when I'm watching my TV, and this Jew comes on and tells me how evil fellow whites can be. Well, he can't be a Jew because he doesn't have the same size nose as me. Well, that was your suggestion. It was originally he can't be a Jew because he doesn't go to the same Christian church as me. And I think we'll try to put out both versions of that and just see what happens. Right? Are you still there?
Yes. Sorry about that. We'll play it again at the end of the show. We should do that.
We can do that. I was thinking that, but do we have the appropriate version ready to go?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We'll see. We'll see about that. But this has to go on any white boy summer playlist, because Nick Fuentes, it's still summer. It's the summer until the 21st. But Nick Fuentes has, in his infinite wisdom, extended white boy summer to at least December 21st. So we have an extra 3 months. It's kind of like Groundhog's Day. I guess it'll be like Groundhog's Day, where the groundhog gets, depending on whether he sees his shadow and freaks out, he can determine how long winter is. And I think Nick Fuentes, from now on, will be able to determine how long white boy summer is.
Okay.
He's kind of like the first groundhog.
Like Gay Pride Month and like Black Pride Month and or Black History Month and
Martin Luther King Day
and all these can like be canceled.
Yeah, I don't want to think about what would make Gay Pride Month go on an extra month. Okay.
They're canceled. They don't even have a month, let alone an extra.
We can take away their month and use those months, that time period, to extend White Boy Summer.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Right. Those are canceled, and White Boy Summer is extended.
That makes a great deal of sense. Okay, so there's a couple minutes before this, and we'll be getting into. There's a couple more issues I want to talk about, but I do think, so that was a boomer song, right? That was from that song, 1966, maybe.
Yeah, but it's a good one. I mean, I like it. I grew up playing these kind of songs. So even though it's a boomer song, the younger generations probably know it too.
And I think it was in, wasn't it in the that movie about Vietnam, Apocalypse Now?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I'm not into Jew movies.
Yeah, I'm not either. But it was in one of those movies, and I think Rolling Stone, which is probably a Jew magazine, I think it called that riff the greatest rock riff ever. Although I think your version was better than Keith Richards.
Well, thanks. That's you too. Flattery. Flattery is
Slattery.
Becoming me. Flattery, yeah. From Slattery. Oh. Well, I use a really nice Ibanez guitar that I have, and I layered up the tracks, with another nicer guitar that I have. So you have two guitars going. If you listen close, you can hear that. There's two guitars playing the same riff. I just, you get a thicker sound that way. And I mean, a lot of practice, a lot of practice. You got to practice.
So there was some Jew who it gets credit for inventing the wall of sound, and then later on he was me tooing all these young girls. Do you know who I'm talking about? Phil Spector, is that who I'm talking about?
Yes, I think that you're correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I'll just leave that one hanging in the air, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. We are back, and this is RBN, and there's lots of ways to listen to RBN. So you can stream this through the RBN website. You can listen live on your telephone. You can go to the archives and listen through the archives. But you can, there's also, it gets reposted. Various places on the internet will repost it. There is, what is it, TalkStream Live, I think, which is an app that carries, it carries RBN, but it carries like Rush Limbaugh when he was alive and all this other stuff. You can get all sorts of stuff through.
So if I had to guess, that you probably have an RSS feed too. For it, so that means that you can just type in the RSS code from the website, if there is one, and you can use any streaming app to probably either stream live or get any archived episode.
I would assume. So that's beyond my my pay grade. Actually, my pay grade is zero. So
it's kind of like a QR code. You just type it in or put a picture of it and. And then it automatically uploads to whatever app you're using.
But a few weeks ago, you sent me an article about another way to listen to RBN. What was that?
That's right. It's called micro broadcasting. And there's an article on nationalvanguard.org, a white nationalist website, has good authors and articles on there. And there was an article on there about micro broadcasting, and it's a way, a legal way of basically making your own FM radio station or AM, but you can be on the FM frequency. I think you can legally, don't quote me here, I'm not an expert on radio or legal laws of radio, but there's a good Wikipedia article on this, so look this up. But I believe you're allowed to transmit 1 watt of power with micro broadcasting, and these are the same devices that, say, large mega churches use to where you can tune in your car, right? Or the old-fashioned drive-in movie theater, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can tune your radio to the station that's broadcasting the audio for the movie. There's also, if you have an old car and it doesn't have an MP3 player or a CD player, you can buy this little device that will transmit a very low signal to a station that doesn't, say, in the low, like, 80s or upper 80s, that doesn't have, isn't occupied by any other station, and you can transmit on there, and have your own little MP3 player. It's the same concept.
I have that. I have a couple of them where, yeah, I plug it into my MP3 player or whatever, and it broadcasts. One has two or three different channels, and the other has 10, and they're in the upper 80s, what I have. And I can, as long as there's not a station already there, then I can just tune into
right.
that.
You can buy those for...
That's not a watt. That is like...
No. Yeah, you can buy those for really cheap. The 1 watt ones, you can... And the nicer ones that broadcast, say, a few hundred yards, you can get those for about $200, 100 to $200 on Amazon.
I have a question. So, there is ham radio, and it's still around, and it's been around for a long, long time. And as a matter of fact,
I just bought a ham radio.
And the Gene Shepherd, and those people who know Gene Shepherd know that I have hijacked his theme music, that bugle music at the beginning of the show. That was the theme for the Gene Shepherd show. And Gene Shepherd was a ham, and he used to talk a lot about ham radio. Right. And the thing is, I mean, you can get, like, so ham radio is on different frequencies. You can't use the AM or FM frequencies. It's on different frequencies. But you can have pretty big transmitters, right? So, because he said once that he talked to the King of Jordan.
So the handheld radio I have is 8 watts. That's a more powerful one. But I'm getting stuff that's at least... I'd say 30, 40 miles away right now. And see, when you connect to a repeater, it repeats it, and there are volunteers that run these, just like Tor exit nodes, which is like an onion router. Anybody who's into technology would know what I'm talking about. Hopefully I'm not getting too techie, but anyway, so you're on a repeater, you know what I mean? It repeats the signal, and you can go further. And when you, if you get a special license, you can start using the high frequencies, and you bounce a signal off the ionosphere into, say, Japan and stuff. You can bounce the radio signals off the atmosphere, or it's called the ionosphere. Hmm. But I hate to break it to people, but the Earth isn't flat. That kind of proves it. Ham radio wouldn't work if the Earth was flat.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well.
That's just a side note. But yeah, ham radio also, something about that is it's not prone to censorship. And aside that from being, it's also a very good emergency tool.
It's the type of thing that we need to have people who can do this. But we're up at the break, so we'll be back after these important commercial messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So we are back, and I guess the big story this week, at least so far, we're recording on Wednesday night, has been Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and revelations that were made by Bob Woodward. It's a book co-written with Robert Costa, who is a much younger person at the Washington Post. Bob Woodward was... Woodward and Bernstein. He was one of the two reporters that was very damaging to Richard Nixon. And when you think back on it, like that, the whole Watergate thing, there weren't even allegations that Richard Nixon knew about the break-in before it happened, just that he had helped cover it up. And nobody got hurt in the break-in. And, you know, when you get down to it, when you look at what's going on now, Nixon really did get shafted. I know at the time, I was very anti-Nixon, and I wanted him to be impeached. I wanted him to be impeached because I was sick of the war. Of course, by the time he was impeached, American troops were mostly—I mean, there were still a few, but they were mostly out of Vietnam. But still, I think. But Woodward, and he's written a bunch of biographies or tell-all stories about presidents, and this was the third one he'd written about Trump. And, of course, he'd written one, at least one about that I have, about George W. Bush. I think it's called The Commanders. And, you know, on the cover there's pictures of George Bush and Rumsfeld and Colin Powell and these other people. And the pictures are all taken from low, so you're looking up their nostrils, right? They're great people. They're up above us. And,
you're at the pharmacy.
And the way he writes these books, okay, so he'll interview a bunch of people, and he's a big establishment guy, so he has access to people. But then he writes it basically like a novel. And, you know, he'll have a conversation. Well, there's no way that he knows how that conversation took place. And, you know, he could say Donald Rumsfeld says such and such, but he doesn't. He just has it as a conversation, as a fact. This is the words they used. And of course they weren't. Okay. So you always have to take Bob Woodward with a teaspoon or two of salt, right? Not just a grain. That being said, what's being said about Milley, and it's being said in his favor, is that basically he saved us from war with China or war with Iran. He saved us from Trump because Trump was crazy. Although, honestly, the only evidence is that he saved us from withdrawing from Afghanistan 9 months earlier.
Like, he's like a traitor, right? Like, if he would have warned, it's like a Benedict Arnold in a way, you know? Like,
well, so the thing is, when Nixon resigned, when he knew he was going to be impeached, and when he had his back against the wall during that last week or so, the defense secretary at the time was James Schlesinger. And I've actually talked to James Schlesinger. He didn't like me, but I have talked to him. And James Schlesinger was, he's born a Jew. He converted to Christianity to marry his wife. But he was the defense secretary at the time. And he later bragged about having told generals, he was the defense secretary, having told the military not to take any orders from Nixon that don't come through himself, Schlesinger. And, you know, the idea was Nixon was drinking heavily and, you know, we didn't want to start World War III. And there was really no indication that that Nixon was going to start World War III. But whatever, okay? Honestly, I don't have a problem with somebody in the government saying, I don't want to start World War III. So even, you know, even somebody who doesn't have the constitutional power to say this, to say, listen, let's not start World War III, right? But frankly, I think this is just self-aggrandizing, because was there any indication that Trump was going to start World War III? And the thing is, he had his back against the wall, and you could say, oh, maybe he would want to tail wags the dog war, something like that. But the only people who were pushing for war with China were the deep state. I've mentioned this before. You had the Oath Keepers, who were led by this former FBI station chief, and this former FBI station chief who led the Oath Keepers on December 30th had posted on the Oath Keeper website an open letter to Donald Trump calling for war with China. Well, he's a deep state guy, right? So it was the deep state itself that was pushing for war with China, and then the deep state that was saving us from war with China. Like, so the whole thing, it's just like so manufactured. But the other thing is that Trump, and this is in the book, but it was also reported at the time, I remember hearing about it, that Trump had ordered a withdrawal from Afghanistan by January 15th, which he would have been able to oversee it. It would have been during his first term. And the military just refused to do it. And it's not the first time that they just blatantly refused to do it. So this is what I'm getting at. And I've gotten at it on other shows. I don't know if I've gotten it at it on this show. What you had with Milley, not just Milley, but all these people, and not just after the election, but the entire Trump presidency, was this four-year-long Jew d'etat, where it was this Jewish-dominated elite that were not allowing Trump to govern the whole time he was in office. And of course, he didn't have a lot of governing skills, and so they got their way with him. But, you know, it started off with, I think, the day after the inauguration, having the FBI visit General Flynn, who was a national security advisor, and then starting this whole Russia stuff, Russia, 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 which actually had started even before the inauguration. and then the Mueller probe and one thing after another, and just and then the judges striking down his efforts to enforce existing immigration law. Well, he might have the authority to do it, but his motive is racist, so that makes it unconstitutional, right? All this stuff that was going on nonstop, and he was being undermined by his own State Department, by his own cabinet members, in subordination from the military. He would order withdrawals from Syria, withdrawals from Afghanistan, but he couldn't make them happen because the army wouldn't go along with it, and he didn't know what the heck he was doing. He was in over his head. This long coup d'etat, and Milley was part of it. He was part of it. He was part of it the summer before when he wouldn't defend the White House.
Seems like he's a fanboy from the media too. He's been in the media quite a bit. I mean, I know he has a book out, obviously, that you get in the media after you have that. But like you said, he's a deep state guy. But the media, the media would tore the nation apart in a certain sense, like trying to vilify Trump throughout the whole 4 years. It tore the nation apart in a certain sense, I think. You know, people, you know, including myself, you know, it's like when you think, I mean, I don't know what to think when you know, $2 billion worth of damage in rioting, you know, is called a peaceful protest, and flag waving on the Capitol steps is called a riot and an insurrection. Like, it's unforgivable, you know, when they justify the killing of, you know, innocent people that are wearing a Trump shirt, you know, down walking on the sidewalk and stuff. I don't know how you fix that either.
Yeah, I mean, the country's broken and it may not be capable of being fixed. But to try to finish the point I'm trying to make, so it was a coup d'etat, and Milley was part of this coup d'etat. It was a Jewish effort. But the way it's being spun is because Milley had called up, you know, supposedly he got these generals to swear to him that they wouldn't take any orders from Trump that don't come through him, right? And, you know, supposedly Trump was so deranged that he could have started World War III with China or Iran or Russia. And I don't really think there's any indication, because Trump didn't start wars. But, you know, whatever. I wasn't there, so I don't know. You know, Trump, you know, maybe – who knows? I don't know what his mental state was. But the thing is – and then the other thing is that the book says that he had called up his Chinese counterpart to say that we've got the situation under control and we're not going to attack. But if we were to attack, I'd give you a notice. And so he's being piled on. I mean, a lot of people are piling on him about that. And like I say, anybody who wants to avert World War III, I'm not going to complain about them averting World War III. I don't think he really was averting World War III. I think a lot of this is bull honk. It's malarkey. Yeah, it's malarkey.
Self-glorifying.
I think it's malarkey. But here's the other thing: is I don't know how unusual it is for, the chief of staff of the United States to talk to his counterparts in other countries. I don't know if that's necessarily that unusual. And you know, before the inauguration, Trump had General Flynn talk to the Russian ambassador because Obama had just slapped all of these sanctions on Russia for hacking the election, for hacking the election machines, for stealing our democracy, for colluding with Trump. He unleashed all of these sanctions, and because, you know, he was saying that Russia hacked our election machines, he said he would retaliate, not might, but would retaliate with a cyber attack at a time and place of his choosing, which is the most reckless thing you can do, because, you know, even if it was a bluff, you could have these Ukrainians, for instance, who could cyber attack the electrical grid going to the Crimean nuclear power plant and send it into a meltdown. And then that would be considered, you know, why wouldn't they think that the Americans did that? That was Obama's retaliation. So the whole thing was insane. And so Trump got Flynn to talk to the Russian ambassador and maybe other Russians and say, look, just keep calm. As soon as we get into the office, we're going to have our own policy, so just don't overreact. He said, don't overreact. And the late Professor Stephen F. Cohen said, this type of thing actually was very common for a newly elected administration to reach out through, unofficial channels. That Nixon did it with Soviets through Kissinger, that Reagan did it with the Soviets through William Casey, who became the CIA chief, that this is actually very common. And so I don't even know if it's that unusual if Miley had talked to the Chinese. I don't know if it's unusual or not. You certainly can make the case that he was insubordinate, but he was an insubordinate the whole time. The whole time he was in there, he was insubordinate, whether it was defending the White House, whether it was withdrawing from Syria or withdrawing from Afghanistan, a whole slew of things. He was insubordinate the whole time. And if you're going to jump up and down and get mad, the last thing you should get mad about is an allegation, which we don't even know if it's true, that he told the Chinese, let's avert World War III, or if there's going to be attack, I'll let you know. That's the last thing I would jump up and down and get upset about. But it's boomer bait, and it's going to be that not just Tucker but Hannity and those people, but a big hunk of the people in the alternative media are also going to be jumping up and down about this and saying it was treason, he was siding with China. And no, this was not a Chinese power grab, this was a Jewish power grab, and they got away with it, and they're still getting away with it. And the reason they get away with it is because we are so easily distracted. Like squirrel, Chinese squirrel, look in that tree, Chinese squirrel. That's my rant. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, when they want to get something done, they declare war on something. We had the war on poverty, war on drugs, the war on terror, and now it's a continuance of the war on communism, per se, maybe.
Well, yeah, and the communism, I mean, they're... Don Blackwell used the term Bolshevism, and a lot of people are using the term Bolshevism, which, if you understand Bolshevism as the defining feature of Bolshevism as not so much being, state ownership of the means of production or these things, but as an ethnic attack by Jews on white Christians, then there is overlap. But what we have going on in this country, it's somebody who had studied communism during the Cold War, as somebody who had done that. I don't like when you've got a situation where you've got these media giants, where you've got private media and private tech companies and private pharmaceutical companies and all these private companies that are completely pushing the government around and, getting their way with the government. That's not what communism was. Communism was the government getting its way with industry, not industry getting its way with the government. And the fact that in both scenarios you've got a loss of freedom and things, it still doesn't make it communism. So one last thing. I'm reserving most of my China stuff for the days when I have Kato on with me. But you keep hearing...
Understandable.
Well, you keep hearing that they're a proxy for the Jews. They're controlled by the Jews, which is just such nonsense. And you'll hear them talk about, some guy named Israel Epstein was given Chinese citizenship. And you could make a better case for Armenian control over the United States than Chinese control over Jewish control over China.
Can you ask Cato this? And this is an honest question. I believe that there was an article that came out that the Chinese accused the U.S. of being white supremacist, and they pointed out the Five Eyes, the Anglosphere, and it's an ongoing problem with white supremacy. We'll have to look that up.
So, I don't know about that specifically, but when Blinken and the Chinese foreign minister met in Anchorage like last March or April— and Blinken was going on and on about the Uyghurs, right? The Uyghurs. And the Chinese responded, yeah, well, you're mean to black people. And Blinken said, yes, we are mean to black
people. Yeah, he says, because your own media says so.
At least we're trying to change. But you see, the Chinese are way behind the Russians in terms of their sophistication in dealing with these things. Because you've had Putin and Lavrov stand up on behalf for American whites and say you're attacking whites. And the Chinese, because they don't speak English as well, and I'm sure they just don't get a lot of this stuff. They're tone deaf to a lot of this stuff. They're still back saying, well, you're mean to blacks. But anyway, that's all we have for this segment. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Okay, we are back, and this program was to debut the great new song. Are we calling it I Don't Want No Vaccination or just Vaccination? What's the name of it?
I kind of liked the three-word, so Vax-in-Nation.
Vax-in-Nation.
Yeah.
Okay, and we have multiple version, and so you can listen to the other version, and let us know what you think. But thank you so much for doing this, Philbert, and I look forward to future collaborations between you and Engelbert Poindexter.
Yes, thank you. It was awesome, and I'm pumped. I can't wait to make some more music.
All right, and I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.